This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of the Blues NHL podcast, brought to you by Innovated Companies. Our new friends Randy and Stephanie Green were in studio a couple weeks ago, and they've jumped on board and wanted to be a part of the show and reach out to some of the great St. Louis Blues fans. We're happy to have them on board. Don't forget Innovated Construction. They do new construction, project planning, consulting. They do residential and commercial, industrial work as well, land development and design build projects. They're there to help you through every step of the way, whatever your project may need. Make sure you give Randy and Stephanie an opportunity for your business. InnovatedCompanies.com. Well, Blues fans, we're in tight quarters today, which is quite interesting because it seems
like... Yeah, they got us in a goddamn broom closet over here.
Yeah, we are.
I tripped over a mop and bucket trying to set up my microphone.
Studio B today.
I thought our shit was going better than
Holy
this.
Holy crap, I thought we were getting some speed here with this show.
This is what happened.
Apparently, we're on the downswing. Exactly.
Did you guys want to come in tomorrow on Thanksgiving?
We're about to be released from our contract, I can tell.
They're Canadian.
This is like the equivalent.
Let me tell you something. They can be from wherever, but these two are going to have a turkey in front of them tomorrow, I guarantee you.
This is the equivalent of coming off the ice and seeing your gear in a garbage bag. I can tell you right now.
That's true.
Hey, there's the typical Wednesday schedule here at lineupmedia.fm.
Oh, here he goes. Corporate guy.
Corporate guy.
We got to the top of the ladder here.
Yeah, well, thank you. We are rolling, but
I feel like I'm being interrogated again.
Well,
I had three guys staring down at me with a bright light in my eyes. We got to get a picture of this later and put it.
You've done that a few times.
I know.
Your hands are behind your back. I remember that.
I'm not prepared for this questioning, though.
Well, let's see. So, rolling in this morning, I thought, holy moly, we sit atop the NHL. Things are rolling. The town couldn't be more proud of 91, even though I know Kimby's not the happiest guy in the world when you're goal scorers throwing punches. So there's a lot to talk about today, a lot of good stuff. But I got to tell you, I was really surprised. Our boy Jamie is so fired up, he can't even sit straight. I mean, this is like a caged animal in here.
Yeah, I'm happy with their success and the win and all this stuff. And, you know, everybody in the world is happy about the Blues right now, and so am I. Okay, great job. What I'm pissed at, and I know fans are going to be, probably confused by this because they were chanting Vladdy, Vladdy, all this crap last night because he gets in a fight.
Right.
And that could be the dumbest thing ever. And it starts off because we've got guys running around on other teams now taking liberties. First of all, you could have lost your two best players your two top scorers, right? Guy comes across at Benning, a little puke, comes across, knees Shen.
Right.
Could have taken him out for the rest of the season. We know how that works, a la Robbie Fabry. You blow a knee out. Then secondly, you got your most prolific goal scorer going over to challenge him to fight, and he fights him and could have broke his hand. It could have been a minimum of 6 weeks there. So now within one play, you've lost your two top scorers and your season could be turned upside down. All because, and I'm going to go back to this, and the fans who listen to our show and the ones who don't like it can go kiss something, okay? Because Ryan Reeves, if he's sitting on the bench, none of that is going to happen. Or that little puke is going to think twice about knee and Braden Shen. Certainly not going to think about fighting Vladdy Tarasenko. Because there would be hell to be paid. And Kimby, you know this shit. is back in the day, if somebody would have fought Brett Hull, Kibbe would have went over and ripped off McDavid's head. Like, that's the next one. It's an eye for an eye. And that way there, your players are held accountable. And McDavid would be the first guy to tell his teammates, hey, guys, you know, like, stop the bullshit because I don't feel like losing my front teeth tonight. But Chris Thorburn, and we'll get to this later because he's playing pretty well right now, and I'm happy with his game last night, but nobody's afraid of him.
Right.
I mean, nobody's afraid of him, okay? He's a big, strong guy, and he answers the bell and all this stuff. But if you have Ryan Reeves here, just like Dave Semenko, just like Tony Twist back in the day for Blues fans, and Darren Kimball and Bob Probert and Joey Kosher, that shit doesn't happen. No, don't interrupt me.
No.
Fuck off. I'm on a roll here. You don't see that shit happen. You guys would be knowing right away that, one, there'd be somebody on the ice that gets in there. Like, there was enough time between the challenge and the fight. Somebody should have been flying in there to fight that guy instead of Lottie. Should have. And then as soon as that fight happened, like the next face-off, and I know Yosi pretty well, and I know that the times have changed, but goddamn it, I would have had five of the biggest fucking meatheads on the ice that you've ever seen. And it would have been like staring down their coach going, you want it? It's on. And now, boom, here you go. I don't care if your goalie's standing there. He's getting suckered. You know why? You're sending a goddamn message that not only are you the best team in the NHL, not only do you have the top scoring line in the NHL, not only do you have a Norris Trophy candidate up here in the NHL, but you've got a team that's not going to be screwed with too. So that's what's got me pissed. Kimby, I'm going to hand this off to you because I know in your role back in the day, like that would have been unacceptable. I know you've changed your opinion quite a bit because of the new NHL, whether you like it or not, and I know you're not exactly fond of it, but in that situation, that can't happen. Right?
No, I was on Twitter last night, and I did say that, and I said the broken hand. I said if Tarasenko, all the fans were excited about this, and I'm saying, well, fucking Tarasenko breaks his hand. How excited are you going to be now? The only thing that, and this is, I go to Tarasenko on this one because I liked what he did for one reason, because I don't think he's had a centerman here for a long time, and he's seen his centerman get hit, so right. He went to protect him, which that was good, and that should show the rest of the clowns on the bench. Hey, look what he's doing. We got to come to the ball game now, but. Going to where Rives was at, and here's where what the problem is, Rives, and you know this as well as I do. Back in the day, I didn't really have to protect Brett Hull that much because there was respect for the game of hockey back then. Guys understood the fucking laws of things. Guys understood if I go get that guy, someone's coming my way, and we don't want that. So we all there was more respect for the game as far as that part goes. But he's exactly right. If Tarasenko, if that guy's gloves comes off. I would be sitting on the bench and I would say, "Holy, did I ever fuck up here?" Because I'm just
be a one way ticket somewhere, not St. Louis.
That's not right. Because Brett Hull would and Chaser, Twister, Basil McRae, all of us guys that went through this thing with that doesn't happen. That don't happen. But back in the day, I think we had more respect because there was a pride to watch those guys play the game. You wanted them on the ice because that was that's your meal ticket right there, basically. And that's the Blues meal ticket right now. I don't he's the best. Probably, the, you know, he is. He's probably the best goal scorer in the game right now. You don't want him
Let's
to
not forget here, both guys. The first guy that was need.
For sure. Exactly.
Right? Like, we're talking about Tarasenko's hand, but a hand is, 4 to 6 weeks. A guy's knee could alter the rest of his career.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm looking at.
The guy going down on that play. So, Tarasenko's back here getting ready to fight this guy, and the guy that going down with the puck, he probably should have just said, fuck it, throw the puck in the corner, I got to turn around here because I can't let that guy fight.
Who was on the ice for defense?
27.
Okay, well, we don't want him doing it either.
Yeah, I'm
just,
don't want him.
I know.
No, but I'm just saying, you've been fucking chomping at the bit all morning to try and slide that in. God damn you. We don't want him doing it either. He's our Norris Trophy candidate, and he's playing amazing. So you don't want that forward line or 27. Who's 27's partner on that play?
Okay.
Who is it?
Is it 55?
No.
Who is
six.
It? No, it's six.
Okay.
God damn it. He should have been. You got to recognize. Like, listen, I wasn't a tough guy in the NHL, okay? Well, I ran around like an idiot, and I actually created work for guys like Kimby, okay?
I'm going to disagree with that, but go ahead.
But what my point is that I always knew what the hell was going on the ice at all times. And if I would have seen that, I would have recognized that. And even if I would have come in third man in, it doesn't matter. You have to come in there.
Yeah.
Okay, but
not 27 either.
I'm not going to disagree with anything you say because you guys did it. However, if watch the play, No one knew they were fighting.
But that's my point. How do you not know?
I don't know.
As a defenseman, the play's up ahead of you.
I know, but you were on... The
play is ahead of you.
It was a weird thing,
but they were under attack.
Doesn't matter.
They were under a rush.
The play's ahead of you.
I understand that, but you're under a rush. Jamie, you played defense.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying I would have seen it.
Well, how are you going to see it when they're coming down on you?
Fuck, Gary. You see two guys square off. It's freaking easy.
Nobody saw it.
You go stand in the parking lot. I'll ram my car into yours.
They did.
50 feet away. I bet you see it.
Gary, they're not coming down on them, though, because the Blues were going down on a 3-on-1 or something, weren't they?
No.
Listen, at the end of the day, guys,
it was in the
puck,
second period, and the Blues were being Edmonton was on the rush.
Here's the point, though. Unless the puck is in the net, Joel Edmondson should see it.
Yes, he should.
Okay.
Yes,
he should. I'm just saying why I think there's a little bit of a reason why they didn't.
No.
Is because they were under.
Look, I'm going to give them some leeway, obviously.
And at what point does.
I like all the guys, and I like Joel Edmondson, and I like everybody involved. My point is not to dog on anybody with this. My point is that you can't have your two top scorers and two thirds of. Fuck you interrupting me.
No, I'm not. I want to follow up on
that.
Fuck me. I'm just letting
you know. Guy this morning, eh? You can't have two thirds of the best line in the NHL possibly injured long term on one play.
Okay, so, but Tarasenko took care of that.
He
one
did,
part.
And I'm proud of him. And he beat the piss out of the guy. Just about knocked his head off with the first punch.
So let me ask you this, because Kimby and you, we weren't there. So answer this: at what point is a guy wearing an A leader on the team? Just get mad and do what Kimby suggested he did, which was, hey, that's my freaking center. We're the best line, and you're not going to take liberty even if I got to beat your ass.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm
applaud
saying?
It. Trust me. I mean, my angle
on
this.
I mean, it's not
this...
something I'm sure they're going to do every day, but, man, nice to see the emotion from a captain.
I will promise I will promise you at some point in time from this game that was just played to the next game, I will promise you either Yo or someone's going to brew.
Well, got to be Chief, yeah.
Or Chief's going to walk. I'm going a different direction. Someone's going to walk over to Tarasenko and say, hey, and they're going to say, hey, we love it, man. I love what you did, but the fucking gloves stay on from now on. And if you need help, start swinging your stick in the air.
Just cross-check the guy in the face.
Yeah, but you keep those gloves on because you're more important for us playing this game
than.
You know what? It brought it out inside him that shows that at least Vladdy's in the ball game here, and he's trying to protect a teammate. They got something good going on here. It's just the wrong guy doing that job.
But man, as a fan, wow.
Well, yeah. But here,
you're going to buy more tickets.
I'm going to expand on exactly what Kimby was talking about. Yes, you know what? You're not finally. I shouldn't say finally. You're seeing that emotion out of Vladdy Tarasenko, and. For the last couple of years, everybody's kind of like near the end of the season in the playoffs, we're like, he kind of doesn't disappear, but does he really have it? Does he really want it? Is he really, you know, invested in this team? And that moment right there where Shen got hit and he flies over and goes after the guy, it showed me and probably every St. Louis Blues fan that this guy wants it. He's going to protect his teammates. He's going to stand up for them. He's that guy. He's a leader, and he wants it. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how things go the rest of the way, because usually those moments are turning points on your team.
I was just going to say that. Like, you know, they mentioned that on NHL Network. Like, if this Blues team takes off and Vladdy takes off the way they've always kind of waited for him, this could be a defining moment in his career. You know what I'm saying?
Like, tell you what, their line right now is one of the most electrifying lines in the league, if not the most. The only one that's comparable, and we talked about on Monday, is Nemestikov, Stamkos, and Kucherov down there. But if that's your comparable, holy crap.
Yeah.
Right? So, anyways, that's my rant on it. I know we're going to get into Blue stuff. There's lots of positive stuff to cover here. You know, I want to talk about first line, second line, third line, fourth line. I want to talk about Bomeister, all this stuff.
Didn't you want to hear Kimble say the line from Tampa?
No. No.
Oh, yeah. Actually, can we do that? I want you to give me the names from the guys.
They're good.
hey, let's right go after ahead. That, though. Make
He's going to write them on the wall.
Right after that, make Chrome say Fabry's first name.
Robbie Fabry?
Yeah, good job. You call him Rory.
I do.
Anyway,
call him Rory.
Going to where we're here. So last night on Twitter, so I responded to what you're doing here, Jamie. And the only response that I really went back at was, and I just want to clarify this, they go like back in the day, Brett Hall, Joe Sakic and them. They, you know, these guys are tougher now. No, they fucking ain't. You know, they just didn't have to. They weren't. That wasn't going to go on. So it's just to where we're at on this thing. I hope the guy Thorbert, he He better play all the time now, but he better get – he's playing good. I liked what he played last night.
All right, let's get right into this, okay?
I liked what he played last
night. Let's get right into the fourth line for the Blues. And and I like the segue on this because we talked about, you know, more scoring from the other lines. And the fourth line, we've always given them a little bit of a pass because they've done such a good job of getting in there, grinding it out. We got two penalty killers on that fourth line. And this year we've kind of dogged on Thorburn because, you know, he's not Ryan Reeves. And it's unfair, but still – he's the victim of circumstances there, and you got to live with it. Yeah. So, but I will say this. In the last handful of games, he's gotten better. He's gotten 2 points, for one thing, and he's up to 9.5 minutes last night of ice time and 11 minutes for both Upshall and Brodziak. So they're creeping slowly back into the territory that they had before with Ryan Reeves. And with Thorburn making that great play on the goal to Upshall, shows he can play the game a little bit. And he got in on the forecheck a few times, especially actually to create right before that goal. He got in, got hit, protected the puck, kept possession. Like, he's showing that he can actually play. So
he's playing better position hockey now.
You know, and he's willing to fight anybody in the league. That's not a question. We know he has fought probably everybody since he's been in the league.
You know what I liked about when I was watching the game this morning, Rivers on it? I think a line come out and the faceoff was in the opposition zone, so Yo puts out his top line, which, you know, coaches do that all the time. And I was just sitting in my head, I'm going, because they just took the fourth line off, and I'm going, is hopefully he comes back with them. And the good thing about
reward
when I was watching,
little.
Yeah. So the good thing with Yo did though, he put him out there against their second line, and so that's shown confidence in them because he doesn't want him playing against their fourth line. Even he'll let him play against all their lines, you know.
Well,
so,
shit, he's creeping back into that territory, right? Because last year the fourth line ended up playing in the playoffs against other teams' top lines because he could rely on Brodziak, Upshall, and Reeves. Now he's slowly merging back. If he can get back there, the only thing left to do after that is solve our third line. Mm-hmm. Because they're just not – I know Yashkin scores last night. It's a bad goal. He shoots from the friggin' sidewall. It's great. I know I'll shot on net, but
– it's a different game and everything, but I still –
if it's not Talbot in net who's struggling right now, that may not go in.
He rung one off the post, so
I still
mean, that was pretty good. That was
how many goals he got all year?
Not two.
I like – when your guys –
he remembered every one of them.
Just saying. Sorry, Kimby.
When your guys' favorite player comes back here and however they get him into the lineup –
you're going to like him too.
Just hold on.
You're going to turn.
No,
I can
not.
Feel this.
But whenever he gets back and however this is solved out there, the only thing – and I like how the Blues are putting pressure on. They're in their face. That Edmonton team, it's hard to compare to that because they just fucking quit on their coach right now. That's embarrassing. But I like how – so the Blues are still doing what they're doing. I just still think we're missing a little more – physicality, like what the Mr. Reeves would bring, and not just the individual, but when he brings it, the next guy. Because I don't think
it makes team toughness for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe this Vladdy thing changes it, right?
Hopefully
it does. As much as I don't condone it, or I shouldn't say condone. That's a bad word because I do condone it.
Yeah.
As much as I don't encourage Vladdy himself doing it, it creates team toughness.
For sure it does.
And
for sure
I've been
does.
On some teams where we didn't have that big heavyweight, but if you mess with one, you mess with three guys on the ice, you know? Yeah. So that team toughness does come in like a pack of wolves, you know?
I think look at the shit the team you're playing last night. When we were playing back in the day and you're losing fucking 4-1 or whatever the score might be, 8, shit, that's when the gloves are off and away we go. And I know the game's changed, but you're still going to.
Well, they
show
still
you
have guys
something.
With old school instincts.
Yeah.
Lucic, Maroon, Cassian. They got
for
plenty
sure.
of guys that.
For sure.
So that just shows that.
The
Tarasenko situation shows the team's stock rising.
Yeah.
The lack of anything from the Oilers shows a team's stock plummeting.
For sure.
And you got two teams that are headed in completely different directions last night, and you could see it simply based upon what they're willing to do to win a hockey game.
If you're a team looking for a player right now, that's the first call I've been making right now. Is going to
you
got to.
You got to try and get in there and rob them of somebody.
See what the hell they got going on. Because they're dying to make it. It's either you're getting rid of a couple players here or your coach is going somewhere. That's usually what happens in this game. And I know they just signed Mac to a big deal. And he is a pretty good coach in this league. He has been. But I don't know if the fight with Connor at the start of the season, he had a little scuff with Connor, and I don't know if that sort of hurt his ass here or what's going on.
I just don't understand. Like, here's the deal. They've got some veteran guys on that team. You know, they've got Lucic, who's won a Stanley Cup. They've got grit. They've got, you know, all this stuff.
You got Connor McDavid, Dreisaitl. These guys are good hockey players.
I know. Like, so I don't know what direction they go in.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
I think their defense is absolutely – last night when I watched there –
they're atrocious.
If you watch how many goals were scored in the house there last night? They no one even got a. Well,
Darnell Nurse was a passenger.
Yeah, all they had to do was put a stick out and deflect a puck or something. But they're not even paying attention to it. And that's what, you know, me and Riz were talking about before that we went on the air here. it's like they're not even trying to do a – like, Mac would definitely know how to play defensive hockey.
Oh, my God.
He would coach.
He's one of the best. Yeah. I played for him. He's one of the best.
And so that's detail, and they're not doing it. So they've quit on the man.
You know what, though, at the end of the day? Fuck them. Who cares?
Yep.
Blues won.
Hey, you know, interestingly enough, anytime you start thinking, okay, man, we're good, we're going to make an addition, maybe it's a different kind of addition for the Blues this year. Maybe and I would think that's an easier add than, oh, let's go get a top center. Let's go get this.
They don't need anybody to score.
Yeah, maybe they, like you mentioned,
financially,
Edmonton,
it'll be easier to add a role player.
Wouldn't you like to have Maroon?
You got to understand here.
God, I'd love to have him.
Yeah, St. Louis kid, bring him
home.
Here's
what goes on, though, Chrome's on. And Armstrong's going to be thinking about this because, you know, he's already looking to see who he's got to sign next year.
Right.
And he knows what Edmonton's contracts are going to be if he's going to look that way. And if there's a way that he can get out of this little debt that he's got here to get to this thing, and maybe a guy that's got a five-year contract that he can hold on and fit into their budget, that's what GM's got to do too. So I'm sure Army's got to look at that at some
point. Just, like
as
I
much
said,
as I would love Patrick Maroon to come to St. Louis, to come back, there's a couple of things here. One, first of all, the team and the fans absolutely love him up in Edmonton. So that's a little bit of a problem because you get rid of a guy, that guy first, and the fans automatically, you know, the sensors go up. Like, what the hell? Why are you screwing us over again, right? We finally like these guys. So I don't know if he'd be the first choice. But secondly, knowing the guy and, you know, watching him grow over the years and being a young kid in St. Louis and going off to play, I just don't think coming back to St. Louis would be the best thing for him. He's better away. You know, obviously he misses his son tremendously, which he has a great relationship with, and he's an unbelievable father. However, I've played in my hometown in the NHL, and the pressure and the distractions and the BS that goes on every day, it's a lot to handle. It's a lot to handle, especially when you're trying to perform at a high level and make millions of dollars, which I never did make because I couldn't do that.
You're making that now, right?
No, million pesos maybe. I don't think he's the right fit. You know, I think he's the right fit for the Blues, but for the individual personally and the Oilers, I don't think that's the trade they're going to go looking for.
But I still stand by, like, and I'm glad you mentioned it. It's got to be a lot easier to go get that tough third line guy than it is a top scoring.
Well, it is, but I don't think you replace Berglund. Yeah. I don't.
No. I didn't.
I was hoping the Army was trading him.
No,
that's what I was going on.
No, he's not going to. I'll tell you right now, and you're going to like him when he comes back because what's the alternative? Goddamn Oscar Sundquist.
70. He's on fire. He's on fire. Right now.
Oscar Sundquist.
Yeah, he's on fire. All right. He blocked a shot the other night.
He did. He fell in front of it by accident. Yeah. No, I shouldn't be mean like that. No, he. He did block a shot, and he is showing some signs, and he does have some good puck protection skills. He's a big guy. But at the end of the day, like your third line guy, your center has to be a lot more aggressive.
Every team, Rivs, that you have played on, a coach buys into a guy. And I'm not saying this, but I'm thinking Yo's got something in this guy's somewhere.
Physically, he's a comparable.
But Yo likes him because, you know, he's had opportunity to sit his ass in the stands, but he ain't going
there. But what's your option?
No, I'm just saying. There's not a lot of options.
Well, Barbashev, but now you've got to call a guy up from the minors to do it.
I still think the coach has a little fondness for this guy here, so don't, you know.
I would take him out and put Wade Megan in there.
Yeah, they called him up. I didn't.
That's what I would do.
How come they didn't play him?
Because he blocked a shot the other night. I'm telling you.
But I would do that. I would give that an experiment. Yeah. Because Megan's got some offensive touch.
I think Berube likes him too, though, because
he was the top scorer for the Wolves last year. Correct me, but I think he was.
Hey, before we segue into some questions and get the fan involvement here.
Yeah, I liked a few questions last night.
Yeah, that's some good ones.
Let's get rolling here. Henson's falling asleep. Yeah. He's on his phone again.
Yeah,
God damn it. You and Kimball. Kimball's good today. All right, I'm not reprimanding you today. But fuck. What else? Come on. We asked for you're late, first of all, to show up today, and now you're on your phone.
I was watching highlights from last year's Blues alumni game.
You're
going to pass.
Here we go.
You're
going to
pass. Hey, what a reminder, everybody.
That was quick.
That's why you were sleeping.
That was good.
Well done.
Hey, make sure you check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. That's where you can listen, obviously, to the current shows, past episodes. Subscribe to the show, which is completely free, and get it downloaded to your mobile device and be prepared to listen at your leisure. One of the things you can do with Christmas coming up, do your Amazon shopping through us, and we get a very small referral to help us with production costs. Simply click the Amazon banner to your right. Do your shopping. Doesn't cost you anything extra. Like I said, we get the very small referral. Check us out on our social media sites. Happy to have you guys a part of that. Last night was a lot of fun, obviously. Find us on Twitter. We are at STL Blues Podcast. You can also find us at NHL Show. The big ask for us, though, we'd like to grow our Facebook page. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page. You can click invite your friends if you're a Blues fan. The chances are you've got many, many Blues fans. If you'd invite them to like the page as well, I know I speak for the guys when I say we would greatly appreciate it. Of course, you can find us on Instagram now as well by simply typing in Blues NHL Podcast Show. Special thanks to everybody at lineupmedia.fm for all their continued support. Fastest growing podcast company on the planet. We're happy to be a part of that as well. Make sure you give them an opportunity for your podcast entertainment time. Lineupmedia.fm, our producer Brian Kroc and associate producer Andrew Allen do such a great job with the show. We appreciate them greatly. Well, we kind of already have went on the bench with Butter. You guys have obviously been on a lot of benches. And
you can't mention Butter around Kimby, okay?
Yeah, well.
It's exciting, especially at Thanksgiving.
You know, Tommy Brown Tax Planning and Resolution. Make sure you check him out. That's taxresolutionbytommybrown.com. He's typically in studio with us on Mondays. You guys have kind of addressed some of these things. One of the things I'm going to go, like, I don't want to, I mean, we can talk about this all day because there's so much came in about it last night. You know, the whole Gordie Howe hat trick, all that kind of stuff.
We've fans already addressed.
Yeah, fans get a little geek. But, you know, there's a lot of fans right now that you guys kind of brought, like, they're on a high over this and you brought them back down. Do we just kind of look at this now to put it to bed to say, it happened, he appears to be healthy, we'll just look at it from the positive angle and go forward?
Yeah, like, look, it is. We've already covered that, the fact that, yes, it's a positive that he gives a shit about his teammates enough and cares about the team and, recognizes the situation. And let's hope it's a one-time thing. That's all.
Hopefully the fans here don't want to think Vlad's going to protect him. Yeah. That was great for the fans and everything that Vladdy cares, and they got that, so now we understand that. Yeah, but put it to bed, please.
Yeah, he's not Brendan Shanahan. No. He's going to drop his gloves once a week and beat the crap out of somebody. We don't want that.
And that's our good friend, Deneen Preston. She's like, not really a question. She just wanted to hear you guys talk about it. And she's
well, I think we've covered it.
Yeah,
top
I think
to bottom
too.
Now.
So let's before we get to the questions, let's go through the Twitter poll that's obviously brought to you by Innovated Heating and Cooling, another member of the Innovated Companies. This one's an interesting one, guys. So I'll go around the room. I'm going to get your vote, and then we'll see how the fans did according to your vote. Our Twitter poll question by Innovated Companies Heating and Cooling. Who will lead the Blues in points this season? We put up Tarasenko, Schwartz, and Stastny. And I could have put up Petrangelo, but I gave it to Stastny because in the end I'm not quite sure where to go. I went with Schwartz on this one. Kimby, who do you think? If you had to guess, got your crystal ball.
Man in the middle. Shen.
Shen?
That's who I go
with. Okay.
I'm going with Shen.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually took part in this poll.
Oh, attaboy.
Yeah, and I clicked on Shen.
Well, you guys, I came in third. You guys all came in second. The fans still love Vladdy. And there could have been a little emotion in that pick last night, obviously.
Well, and it's really not like, it's not a far-fetched.
Sure, yeah.
Pick,
it's not like
it's not like you're, you know, going to pick Sundqvist.
Right.
Like, you know.
Well, he wasn't an option.
The thing about.
Really? Oh, imagine that.
But see, the thing why I went with Shen is because everything sort of, he's the one in the corners. He's the one that's in front of the net on the power play. Everything sort of funnels through him. Him and Schwartzy to go to Tarasenko, so usually they'll be the secondary or first assist
on
that play.
And one thing you got to look at too, when you're looking or scouting a hockey game, the puck always goes through the middle of the ice. Okay, so that guy's always a part of it at some point. And then you have to see which way the guy shoots. And this will make sense when I describe it. Shen is a left-handed shot, so who's on his right wing? You can answer.
What's that?
You can answer.
Oh,
who's
Vladdy.
His right? Vladdy.
Yeah,
okay, so it is harder to go to your backhand, and you don't see the ice quite as well because of the way you're lined up with your stick. So your natural thing to do is to pass to the right. And therefore, we're giving the puck to Tarasenko, who's our biggest difference maker. So by the fact that Shen's going to touch the puck more than everybody else, and he's going to be giving the puck primarily to Vladdy, puts him with higher percentages of leading our team in scoring.
You learned something today.
I did learn something today. I went Schwartz only because – what a difference a year makes.
Because he thought it was Schwantz.
Hey, hey.
That was Kimby.
Hey, honest to goodness, what a difference a year makes. Because last year, Jamie made sure everybody remembered last year that while the goals weren't going in, Schwartz played really well, okay? But what a difference a year makes. Everything's going in for the guy right now on top
of
the great play.
He's hunting pucks. Like, it's incredible. You watch that line, and, you know, Gary, you're a coach. Kimby, you're a coach. We've all played. Chromes, you're a fan, you know.
Drunk fan. That's fine.
Inebriated. We like that word better. Yep. Sounds more drastic.
Yeah, it's fine. I can take it.
But on the forecheck, these guys are in there. Like, they're on the pucks. They're pressuring the pucks. On that one goal last night where Shen scores it, you know, Edmonton kind of falls asleep, but Schwartz is right in on top of the defenseman, steals the puck, puts it in the slot goal. Like, that's how fast things are happening for that line. And, you know, sometimes you get a top-scoring line like that and you don't see the pressure, you don't see the forecheck. You have three guys that all want to play on the outside. They all want to be the goal scorer. Well, you're not getting that right now. It's like they've checked their egos at the door and have realized that by playing the game the right way and playing for each other, they're getting more goals, more opportunities, and better chances or better looks, as they say now in the NHL.
I thought the top two lines, their forechecking is exceptional.
It's pretty neat when you sit there and your top line is getting all the credit, which they all deserve, and then your second line, Steiner, and these guys are sitting down there, and pretty good damn hockey players. Pretty good second line, Sabolka, Steiner, and
they're great on the forecheck, too. Yeah. Gary, you just mentioned it. They're in. They're controlling the puck. Stastny and Steen play an unbelievable two-man game.
That's a good second line
to throw out there, though. That's a top line for a lot of teams.
This is why we got to address the third line.
Yeah.
We have a fourth line, and I think Thorburn's just going to get better, okay? Is he the difference maker? No, but he's going to be able to create enough for that line.
The way he is right now.
I like it. Finally, I like it.
Yep.
Second line, first line, Jake. He looks like Hutton. Third line, God, just give me something more to like there.
Thorburn, though, if you watched him and what he is now, he's playing. He was like playing scared before. He was like worried he was making mistakes.
Nervous, correct.
Nervous better.
Yeah.
Because he was worried he was going to make a mistake or something like that. But now he's playing with calm. He's making plays. He had a good chance to score on the break, a half-ass breakaway. Makes the nice pass. You know, things are going good there.
I don't think the third line was bad last night.
No, but like, just overall, they're not great defensively. They're okay. They're not great offensively. They're not really okay there. So it's like they're just vanilla.
Last night was a little more than vanilla from them.
I'm using one game.
But I'm trying to jumpstart the team. That's what, you know, think
sports
about
team.
Fucking Peter Positive
sports
over
team.
Here
I'm
now.
Trying.
Hey, Tony Robbins
Peter
in the house, folks.
Sorry, but I thought they played well, and I hope that continues.
I hope so, too.
Especially
the best part is when a couple weeks from now, when Berglund comes back and plays great, I just want to sit here and we're going to send out the podcast of Kimby actually admitting that he's playing well.
I got nothing for him.
You got to be an honest guy. If he's playing well, you're going to say it, right?
I'll be honest. Yeah.
See, that's all I want.
Yep.
I'm not asking you to sit here and be his agent.
Nope.
But when he comes back and he is a difference maker, I'm expecting
good.
You
I seen him
being a stand-up
got,
guy.
Got a pretty haircut. That's about all I got going for them. I tried to get my kid's haircut like that, but no. Decided against that shit.
No.
I said, you'll start playing like a dumbass. We ain't doing that.
But you will own up to it.
I will if he does that, but God.
You know he's going. You're nervous. I can tell you're nervous about it.
Cats playing with dogs.
What's it take for him? Like, what do you need to see in him?
Yeah, 20 goals wasn't enough.
I just don't.
That's why.
I think his speed just kills him. I don't like it. I think he's big and he doesn't use his size.
Well, they're definitely going to get slower.
I just don't like it.
Well, Tom Ackerman brought that up when he was.
But that much, guys. You're not focused on necessarily all the right things here.
I'm focused on the big thing.
They're going to get better in the faceoff circle. They will get stronger in the defensive zone. They will be harder to play against for other teams' top lines because he does play his position well. He's not going to hurt anybody physically. He's not going to create all that stuff. But he's a big body with a great stick.
What's he out for right now?
Shoulder.
Yeah. Hopefully he comes back the first game, gets the other shoulder hurt.
Debbie Downer.
Continue on. Next question. Let's go.
Now he wants to skip ahead.
Move on. Quit talking that shit. The guy don't even play. Let's not even talk about him.
Holy moly. Guy don't even play.
Hey. Holy shit.
He's rolling.
I didn't think he was on the team anymore.
Who poked him?
Hey, that was our innovated heating and cooling Twitter poll of the show. Thank you to our
way
new
to go,
friend,
Lawson.
Randy and Stephanie. Don't forget, innovated heating and cooling for all your heating and cooling needs. They take care of your new construction. They do full replacement on HVAC systems. They do residential, commercial, refrigerations and walk-ins, ductworks, anything you can need. They are fully licensed, bonded, and insured. 35-plus years of experience. Randy is a second-generation craftsman. Give them an opportunity for your business. Innovated companies, and we do appreciate them greatly. Let's take a small break here and go over to the St. Louis Youth Report, only because Thanksgiving's tomorrow. And, Damie, I know you got a really exciting opportunity for a lot of young hockey players on Friday.
Yeah, with SynergyHockeySkills.com, you can go on there and click on our Black Friday camp. It's from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. There's going to be two separate ice sessions, so kids are going to get a lot of work, and it gives everybody a chance to go shopping, get that out of their system. We talked about the other day. Go shopping, get the elbows high, get in, get out. Come back and get your kids, and we got a little bit of a grab bag for them with some swag and some other stuff in there. It should be a really fun day. We're going to have a lot of good players. We're going to have some AAA kids from my team, a couple of AAA kids from your team, actually, the 04 team, and then a lot of younger kids, and It should be great. I'm looking forward to it.
What an opportunity. Have Jamie take care of your kids. That sounds real
that
promising,
is
doesn't
cool.
it?
Come to me, my child.
Oh, it is pretty cool, though. I mean, think about it. You're dropping your kids off, and you got an NHL guys coaching them while you're out shopping. That's great.
It is an unbelievable opportunity.
There will be a guest coach there, too, who's a former NHLer.
Chase is showing up?
No. No. Another guy.
Is it a surprise, or do you want to break it here?
No, not Brownie either. Those are obvious choices, though, based on the fact that...
Who's the other guy on your team?
Lubos? No, I don't think Lubos. Bartechko.
You got three guys that you coach with, and none of them are showing up?
Yeah, well, that's because they coach with me.
They've had enough of him by
then. No, it looks like we might get a little drive-by from Andy McDonald.
Holy moly.
Yeah, Andy.
How is Andy?
He's doing good, man.
Everything good with him in retirement?
Good, yeah. He's enjoying life. He's really jumped headfirst into coaching his son's youth team.
Was that to be funny when you said
I was going to say,
head first.
No pun intended, head first.
Guys, I'm all about preparation, okay?
Why didn't you bring The Wire by and let The Wire see these young kids? He's got some young kids.
The Wire's grandkids come out and do a bunch of stuff, and he's always great. He watches, and you know he's a big fan, which is great. It's an honor to have that. But, yeah, Andy Mack is going to be in the house, and certainly going to have him try to teach the kids how to skate like he can.
Sure, absolutely, for sure. Yes. How's our friends, the Nelson family, Kimby? I know you've been traveling a little bit with them out of town, having a couple.
They're much better now that the travel's over with Kimby.
We went up to Detroit and had a so-so weekend. You know, we started No, didn't do much of that. We went up there, and I didn't drive. He flew this time, and I drove. I told you that the last show. But,
you did, but Cromer doesn't pay attention.
No, I didn't.
The kids were they did all right. They got to the final game, and then they laid an egg against Knubel. You know him.
Yeah.
His kid was playing there, and they.
But you guys have injuries and stuff too, right?
Like, which is the sort of help. It's helping our team out though a little bit. You know but Lawson, he's here today. But Lawson scored with about 3 minutes to tie it, and then they went back down and scored with 1 minute left.
Is that how he got that whack across the chin there?
You got a little, but he got it on the chin. So he got he had his head down. He didn't get any information from the bench. You know, we hate that when they're coming. So I got to. Yeah. He's got any friends there? That's what I'm asking him.
What though? He's not alone. I mean, I'm telling you, this generation of kids. All I do all practice long is talk. You know, and they don't say heads up. They don't let guys.
They want to be able to text the guy on the ice.
Yeah,
hey, there's a guy coming.
They're like Henson. They got their nose buried on their phone. You know,
a Snapchat. Somebody's coming to hit you.
Yeah, they should send them that. Yeah. Actually, I would take that. That would mean there's some form of communication.
Yes.
Yeah. No, but they're great people. NelsonLandServices.com. They're so involved in the hockey community, very supportive of everything. Just asking us to ask you to give them an opportunity for your business. NelsonLandServices.com. Their phone number is 636-244-5651. Five-star locally rated landscaping company. They do professional landscaping at reasonable costs. A lot of our listeners I know have spent a lot of time down at the Lake of the Ozarks. When you drive by and see those beautiful homes, chances are Nelson Land Services did the work down there. They do amazing stuff. If you just go on NelsonLandServices.com, you're going to see some of their work. Tremendous people, very supportive of the hockey community. We're really glad that that their kids are having success. Obviously, you like to see good things happen to good people, so we do appreciate them greatly. And that is our St. Louis Youth Report, unless you guys have anything else for us.
Nope.
Tom Ackerman had a lot of nice things to say about you and the stuff you've done after you got off the air. Everybody likes to talk about you when you're not around.
Did he say anything about me?
No. Well, he likes you.
But he likes you.
Well, that was nice to talk about.
He likes you, but he's just impressed with what's going on here in St. Louis. You know, he's obviously been, you know, he's been doing what he's doing now for quite some time for being a young guy. And he's like, it's just nothing short of amazing that here we are in St. Louis. And we have all these kids. He goes, it's one thing if a kid gets a cup of coffee and it's like, man, he came from St. Louis. We got guys going in the first round, top of the first round, making debuts at 19 years old, 20 years old. He's like, this is amazing. So
I'm telling you what, there's more kids coming. I'm telling you, I had the opportunity to watch a couple of the other birth years coming up. And right now, you know, the 16s have a lot of talent. And then the U15 AAA team, I had the privilege of coaching them couple games throughout the weekend just to help out, and man, they're stacked with talent. That's a great hockey team. You know, the 04s, the team that you coach, Kimby, is stacked with talent. Yeah. Like, this is gonna, there's some really good birth years coming up the chain here.
I'm gonna step off the plank here for a second, and you know, it's all AAA Blues, and that's what it's been about, and it's got our name on the map with the five kids getting drafted. But there's some other programs that are running here, and I watch them because I like to see how kids do. I got kids that I know that play for the Carshield organization in Afton, And but they're getting tryouts in the NHL, NAHL, and these things, which is good to see because, you know, not everybody can fit into the AAA.
No, you're right.
And the thing I get a little nervous about as far as the trip as hockey in St. Louis, you know, you don't want to go too big and get like the Chicago's and the Detroit's where they got nine teams going. You know, you're in there and you're fighting and
It just gets watered down, right? Yeah. So yeah, you know what? You're right. There's lots of praise that has to go to the other AAA or elite teams that are in town, AIC and Carr Shield, and they're doing a good job. You know, they've got players in the Junior Blues, Afton, the Junior Blues. You got to give credit there.
Yep.
You know, not every kid is destined for the NHL.
No,
but We're really putting a lot of kids to junior hockey,
correct,
to college, to D1, to club hockey. Like, we're actually kind of saturating the market right now. And it was amazing because in Philly, when I was there, I had about five or six colleges and about four or five junior teams asking me about the next crop from St. Louis. They're like, that's the hotbed right now. We know that there's diamonds that are buried there, and we want to be the first one. So, you know, and of course they present me with a list of kids that they're interested in and ask me for, you know, my input on them. And then, is there anybody that's off the grid that should be looked at? And it's amazing.
Yep.
Like, years ago, it was like, what's this team? And now it's like this little gem that everybody wants to be the first one to go find that kid from St. Louis.
That's
pretty cool.
That's good to see.
Let's get into our Twitter questions. And before we do that, I just want to make sure that I gave everybody the results from our Twitter poll. And we want to thank. We had a ton of votes on it. Tarasenko did win that at 41%. And again, I think I did mention that I thought maybe he got the emotional vote. But it's like I think Jamie even mentioned, not a bad choice, of course. I want to say that I've got some questions here. Thank you to our Twitter sponsor, Innovated Electric. So let's get to those right now. One of the ones that, and I know it's not a not a dig, but again, even in victory, sometimes you're looking to do something. Sean Smith wants to ask, what do we need to do to ignite the power play? Really good in all areas, but not the power play. Not the worst issue. So he's trying not to dog on him. Good for him.
No,
good
no,
for Sean. But it's a real question because it is an issue. I mean, you know, you guys brought up, okay, we're rolling the third line. With the way the NHL is right now, if the power play can't get going, you got to think sooner or later that's going to come back to bite us. So, you know, I'll give you guys the floor.
Yeah,
I tell you what, in the old day, like when I played with Ray Bourque in Boston or Chelios in Chicago, and I'm sure Al MacInnis and these guys did, if the power play wasn't working back in the old days, you'd try to get back to the point and you let these guys fire the puck and you try to get an ugly goal. Nowadays, the middle is getting so clogged up, puck movement has to come. You got to try to separate these guys. They're staying in their house. It's harder to do. It's, you know, but there's so much talent on the Blues, and confidence goes through with it a lot. You know, Chen gets a goal last night when he tips it and it goes 5-hole through the thing. So the puck's got to get to the net. You got the defenseman or whoever's shooting the puck, Vladdy or whoever's going to be shooting on the other side, as long as it's getting through and you're putting traffic in front of that, rebounds, dirty goals are going to happen. And if you get dirty shit, then sometimes things start to get out and you can start – you try to get the shots and then open that box up somehow is what you're trying to do. So – you know, and they got the talent, so that's not even a question here right now. It's just it's a confidence level with the power play. They're working on things, and it'll click. Don't worry.
Well, here, the rule of thumb is if your power play is not rolling, you know, at a really high percentage, you want to simplify it. You want like almost a two pass maximum, and I've said this before, almost a two pass, maybe three pass maximum, and then puck to the net. Now, that's not at all cost. So we're not ripping it off shin pads and missing the net and creating nothing. What we have to do here is, just like we saw last night, Colton Parayko, and we talked about him trying to be a Brent Burns, right? Well, that's what we need to see. He needs to move his feet. He needs to find a shot lane. He doesn't need to put the puck through the back of the net. Yep. What he needs to do is make sure it gets to the net.
Yep.
And this is where I go back to our good friend Vladdy is, and he's such an elite goal scorer. He's such a dynamic player. And I'm not dogging on him. And no, I was never even close, never would be in a million years to as good as this guy is. However, I did play with a lot of guys who were just as good as he is. And the key is to get the puck to the net. If you talk to Brett Hull, and we reference Brett just because we're St. Louis people here, but he always said, I just shoot it to make sure I get to that area of the net. Not looking to knock a fly out of the air here. You know, I'm not looking to win a medal for the best shot in the world. I'm looking to win a medal for putting the puck in the net. And so Vladdy's got to make sure he's getting his shots through quickly. And last night was a prime example where he didn't take forever in the slot. Now, it wasn't a power play goal, but it was a quick little zip, and he got, you know, went off a stick, jumped over the goalie, and landed in the net. And you're like, oh, my God, right? Just by pulling the trigger. And then Parayko, with that wrist shot, gets it through, deflected into the net. I'm telling you, I watch highlights every single night, and 80% of the goals are offense is generated off of the shot. Mm-hmm. Either a rebound, a tip-in, it goes off of another guy. You get the puck, you make your next pass, and that pass becomes the one that sets up a goal. If you get the puck to the net, that happens. If you don't hit the net and if you get it blocked, obviously those are no good. So I think the Blues right now, their power play, they've got all the personnel back. They should be getting into their comfort zone. 1-for-3 last night, so yeah, that's great if you can roll like that.
Yep.
And you know, you just got to make sure that the guys out there, it's quick passes to go low to high, high to low. You want to spread out these guys. You want to force them to open up in the middle, like you said, Kimby. And then you find your seam to get a puck through to the net.
Yep.
Once you start doing that, those teams will collapse even deeper towards the net because they have to get rid of the rebounds. Therefore, that'll open up better plays up high. So you want to make sure you're always trying to trick the other team in some way to either draw them back towards the net or draw them up really high to create these gaps. And by shooting the puck, it just automatically does that.
Yeah, Parenko did a good job on creating that seam, though, too. It's
well, that's
like,
it. He's moving.
Yeah, he didn't just get it and then fire it.
No.
He got it. He saw where they were. He took a couple, one stride, changed the puck angle, and then found that seam. It was great.
Absolutely.
And it's got to get easy for him because when you got Tarasenko sitting over there, and you know this, I'll guarantee you when they're watching video coming into St. Louis, where's this guy sitting at? Where's he at all times? Like on the power play, because you know everything's going to go floating through Tarasenko. So
they've got to guard him.
They got to go there. So there's where your hole's going to have to be created at some point.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's why I like when Vladdy moves. Yep. So when he goes from the half wall on either side and he decides to go for a victory lap, I'll call it, skate through the box and then readjust, they're trying to find him now. And when you're trying to find him, other guys get open.
But that's what Brett did so good, though. Brett didn't stand in one spot. Brett was, who knows where fucking Brett was going. But
he's a good point.
Otsi knew, and that's the only guy that needed to know.
That's the only guy that needed to know.
But you're right. Yeah. The movement will cause chaos.
Yeah.
Thank you to Sean Smith. That's at SeanSmith90. Great question. Let's go to our next question. Ryan K. at Fan of the Blue 67. This is an interesting one. In past years, when the team fell behind in games, you could just count them down and out. This year's completely different. What's the biggest difference in that? Is it coaching, structure, game plan, confidence in general, et cetera? You guys?
Well, a little bit of maturity. You hear this team talk about their maturity. And I think that the maturity, what that means is that when they get up by a goal, they're not just trying to sit back. They're not in the oh crap mode. They're in the more like right now we pour ourselves even deeper into the structure and we'll be successful. And you watch them last night. Their neutral zone forecheck, they're tracking, they're reloading, all the stuff that they're doing, it's nonstop. There is no break in the game for it. And that's really difficult on other teams to create any kind of momentum on a team that just simply won't veer off the course. And I think that that's a tribute to the coaching staff for what they started last year. But ultimately, guys, it falls on Tarasenko, Steen, Petrangelo, Shen now. All these guys who are veteran players holding the other guys accountable. You don't see Tarasenko not back-checking anymore. You don't see Petrangelo not participating. You don't see Alexander Steen not putting his stick in the lane the right way. Like, these guys are all on task. And whether it's a coaching, the leadership, or a combination of all that, what it does is it makes it almost impossible for other teams to come back from significant deficit.
And last night they said on TV when Yo started, he's the winningest coach from when he started taking over the Blues. For his records, the winningest coach at that time. Obviously, the players buy in. Obviously, the confidence level is through the roof right now. You can get down. You know you're capable of scoring 5-8 goals, whatever. You know that's all there. If they just keep taking, if they get down 2 goals, and I'm sure you played on teams that were successful teams, it didn't matter what the score was. There was always, because when I played with Holly the year, he gets his 86 goals. We always knew that he was good for at least 1 or 2. So we always said we're going into the game. We're up 1-0 already, or we're up 2-0.
Well, yeah, you had to look at it that way.
So you're going to get that goal from that man. So it's just a matter of when does it happen. If you get down 2-0, does Holly score 2-1, and then you come, and then the barrage comes. But it was just confidence. It all stems from confidence. Everyone's got confidence going right now in the Blues, and things are looking really good.
It's hard to play against the Blues, and for this reason, all 4 lines are play heavy shifts. They really do. They're hard on the puck.
And they're quick shifts.
They're hard on the puck. They make it difficult for you to exit your zone, enter their zone. Their forecheck in the neutral zone is heavy as well. Like, they influence with F1. F2 sinks down. F3's there for support. It's, you know, the D are in the neutral zone. They haven't backed up inside the D zone. You know, they play in the zone a lot. And then they get off. They get off the ice. And then the next line comes and does the same exact thing. That's difficult.
Yeah. Well, when they come in waves like that.
Yeah, it's hard.
One, it really wears the other team down. Yeah. Because you keep looking for a seam, you keep looking for something, and then what happens is, and as you guys know, is you start to look for something that maybe isn't there, and you're trying to cheat or do something, and that's when, bam, they strike again, and they're going back into your end. You're like, holy crap, you know, so you can't, it's kind of demoralizing
well,
at times.
Right, and so you saw that last night with Edmonton got, that you could see the frustration building, especially as they moved the puck in the neutral zone. And then you saw them kind of try to switch their attack from wide to back to the middle. And you saw Parenko step up. You saw 55 step up, make two big poke checks that led to goals.
Yeah.
Like the transition instantly went back the other way and led to goals. If you're sitting on Edmonton's bench, not only are you just getting beat up, but now they're scoring too.
Well, it's a quiet confidence, right? Yeah. And if you listen to Petrangelo and Steen and all these guys, they talk about this quiet confidence. And what it is really is if you watch them play, the better they do defensively, the more energy they create for themselves. You can see that they're actually feeding off of their own dedication to the system. And so therefore, like you said, it's confidence, right? Because you're oozing, like, I can go on the ice, we're going to do this, and I know he's going to be there. We're going to get the puck back, and we're gone. Right. You know? Like, it's just like that fun game
yeah,
of hockey.
It's really fun.
So.
And what Gary said earlier, which I think is a real key point, you could tell that they're all playing together, they're all working the same way, because when they dump the puck in, they're all coming together on the same line change, and then the next
yes.
wave comes. And
so
then the next
important.
Wave. So they're all going at the same time, and it's not one guy's hanging out there trying to do something special. They're all on the same page right now, and they're all going, and that's pretty big.
It's huge.
Great question from Ryan K., fan of Blues 67. Real good stuff. Let's go to our next question. I thought this one was this guy's a fan, J.P. Pensian. Just an informational thing, and maybe, Jamie, I think you would be the guy that might know the answer to this. You may not.
I doubt it.
What happened to the KHL band player the Blues were looking at signing? He was a possible – did it just not pan out?
I mean, Mafia got him.
Well, that's you know what? That's always part of the multiple choice.
That was Darren Kimball, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that was Darren Kimball.
Darren, you ready to come back and play some third line?
Not Jamie Rivers, the player that played over there that might owe you money. Okay. No, all jokes aside, look, the Blues didn't offer him a contract, okay? And I'm sure that there could be some clarification from some people in the front office about what actually transpired. But he was offered a PTO. So he's basically offered an in-season tryout, which means that he comes in here, they pay him a certain amount that's attached to it, and that's it, you know, and see if he can play in this system, see if it works out, see if he likes it, which, quite honestly, guys, that's the play I would make because the guy's banned over in Russia. He has no options right now. He's, you know, he's sitting at home making borscht. So, you know, he's got to get playing somehow, and I know that the Olympics aren't an option because he's banned from that too. So
this guy's banned a lot of places.
He's banned.
Except a divorce.
Is that what it felt like when you were banned from a lot of bars?
They call that barred. Okay,
barred from bars.
But no, you know,
just
they offer
the front
him a
door.
Try.
He always gets in the back door. Don't worry.
Oh so, no.
Hey.
Oh,
easy on that one. But, yeah, it's a tryout, so this guy's looking for some guaranteed money. And I don't blame him because he's in Russia. He's going to make the transfer all the way to the United States, and he's going to go into a league where he's not familiar and all that stuff. So, but at the other side of it, I don't blame Doug Armstrong. Why would I give this guy guaranteed money? Because he has some proven squad. And if we look at the Vegas, that experiment, what the hell was that guy's name again? I can't even remember because he came in.
Kimby, what's his name?
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that guy. But, he, you know, Vegas brought in this guy that they gave this money to, and then he was like three games and gone. Ninja bomb back to Russia, right? So, you know, in my opinion, the tryout offer is more than adequate. And if the guy's really that freaking good, he'll come here and earn a real contract.
Well, good stuff. Thank you for the question, JP, and the nice comments that you sent us on the message board. We'd appreciate your support. Keep sharing the show around, as the fans have been a big part of that. Thank you. Last question, Brian Whitcraft at, boy, this is a good one, at Smoovest McGee, maybe. I don't know. I think it's obvious. I never played in the NHL. Probably pretty obvious, unless you guys know Smoovest McGee.
Who's that? Oh, Smoovie. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is you. Okay. How do you stay positive when things are going so well? What learning or coaching can you do after a route like the Edmonton game? I think you guys kind of touched on I think where he's going with this is, can you get complacent because things are going so well?
How do you stay positive?
Well,
how do you stay grounded?
Yeah, I think that might be where he's going.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll cut him some slack. We'll cut old Smoovy some slack here.
Smoothie, okay. But so here's what we'll do. We'll put you guys in the coach's seat. So you guys route Edmonton.
Better be a big seat.
Yeah.
Come on, Gary.
Jesus, Gary.
I didn't say anything.
How do you go around the room and do some coaching after a route like that?
You know what? I don't. I'm going to go just a little on the other side of this. And you know Commodore. You played with him. Did you play
the Commodores? They're great out of Detroit.
Did you play with Mikey?
Oh, no, but I know who he is, yes.
Anyway.
Lionel Richie?
So he goes on the other side of the – he was talking about the Edmonton team last night.
And oh, boy, yeah.
So he puts it on – he went on Twitter and he said it was kind of funny because he would go you get on the plane or go in the dressing room, get a beer in your hand, go on the plane, get a beer in your hand, get into Detroit, go down to someplace I don't know what that's ever called.
Yeah, good one.
But he go down there and get a beer and, you know, just go out and get it off your mind. But that's how the losing team's going through. The winning team, you know, you keep going about what you're doing. You're having fun. I'm guarantee you they're going through practice. They're yucking it up. They're being probably Jamie Rivers style, cutting everybody down like he does when he doesn't need to do it, you know, but he does that kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
Especially Gary just now on the short bus. But anyway.
Oh, shot across the bow.
But that's what they're doing right now. So their confidence is up. I'll guarantee you walk in that locker room in the morning, you know, they're playing jokes on everybody. Things are having fun. The coaches are probably involved in it too. So it's just a whole different atmosphere going.
Coach?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Coach? So, Coach Henson?
In my experience,
How do you do it in college, G?
In my experience, because we've been pretty successful, I think there are times like last night where you walk into the room after the game and you just basically say, that's what we expect of you. That's the kind of play we expect of you, move forward and smile about it and have a little bit of a good time. And then there's other times when, you know, when you win a game and it may not have been the best effort and you kind of, you know, point those things out. But I don't think it's hard to stay positive. In my opinion, NHL guys, I don't see them ever getting complacent necessarily. I think they're – I know Jamie's going to shake his head, but
– I'm not shaking it.
He's wobbling it.
I don't
– like he's had a couple cocktails.
That was the fan blowing his two hairs he's got.
I was not moving your head.
I would be surprised.
Like a wind tunnel.
I would be surprised.
Like a tsunami couldn't move that thing. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I would be surprised if a team playing like the Blues – in their professionals gets complacent. You know what I'm getting at?
No,
like,
but you know, guys start to
like
get too
Edmonton's
happy
complacent.
With
spit it out. Yeah,
you think?
Are you still answering?
Yeah, I am. I don't know what the freak I was saying. Kimball's got me all messed up over
discombobulated.
Here.
Kimball's swinging his head around and hearing all the oxygen turn.
I know.
Kimball does.
Okay, so here, I'm going to just
help him, please.
Jump in here. I'm going to try and
give
throw
him a
you
lifeline.
A life preserver here. He's drowning on the Titanic.
Just freaking say good job.
Good job, Gary. Positive.
Thank you.
Well done. All right. So here's the thing. Guys don't get complacent. What happens is they get a little too happy with themselves, right? And that might actually be the same fucking thing. I'm not sure. but as a coach of the team, one, you know, I don't even, after last night's game, I don't even go in there. You just go and crack a beer with your assistant coaches and kind of go over your strategy for the next little while because you want to make sure you maintain this momentum coming out of a Thanksgiving. And in my opinion, and what I would do is you go and you find the clips on video from the last handful of games of not the goals. You find the clips of shot blocking in the lane, good sticks, good back checking, great transition, taking a hit, forechecking. You highlight all of those things. And that way there it stays fresh on their brain of this is what's made us successful. This is what's separating us from the rest of the NHL. Yes, we're getting goal scoring. Yes, we're getting this. But this right here, our dedication to this is what's separating us. And we're going to go out and practice every freaking day harder because we're still making mistakes at all these things that we're doing great. We still have some work to do. And that makes the players go, you know what? I like this winning thing. And that was awesome that so-and-so just back-checked like that. It was awesome that he jumped in front of a shot. It was great that he cleared the front of the net. And you know what? I got to make sure I'm matching that guy's intensity. And it kind of keeps guys going and hungry. And at the end of the day, if I was Mike, I'd say, listen, you guys have never won a Stanley Cup in the history of the franchise. Don't go patting yourselves on the back yet. Keep going. Keep pushing. Keep striving for better.
keep raising the ladder.
Yeah, keep going.
Good stuff, because it sounds like maybe you might have played for a guy like that or two.
Yeah, a couple of guys. That's usually when they turn and said, Rivers, you're not going tonight. Get a little extra on the bike.
I'll guarantee he might have walked in this morning and said, hey, the big boys are taking a rest at this time, and we're going to have a little few guys skate here a little bit.
Like nobody's at practice today. Yeah. I bet you he gave them today and tomorrow off.
Don't they play Thursday?
They're off today. They're practicing tomorrow.
On Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I honestly read it. Bullshit. It's in the notes.
You'll be the only one at the rink if you go there.
I'm telling you, it's in the notes.
What notes?
From the press release this morning.
So my text messages probably mean nothing.
Yeah, so when you were dogging me about reading or looking at my phone, I was
Checking out the press notes.
There's no way. No way. He was playing Angry Birds.
Hey, you're almost over the show here, and I haven't heard one thing about what's going on today, and I'm pissed off about
what's going on today?
Kimby's birthday today.
Hey! Oh, my Lord!
No balloons, no kids.
Little Kimby.
No, you know what? I get stuck in a fucking closet.
No. Listen, I was going to buy you a party hat.
But I just didn't have his size.
Cabela's was closed at this time of morning. They didn't have one anywhere else.
You don't get his hats at Cabela's. They come.
You got to buy those teepees and throw a fucking rope under it.
Omar's
39 years old, and you guys
39 years old, huh?
Oh, my Lord.
Holy moly.
Jesus Christ.
No way. Kimby.
You look spry.
I tell you what, though. Let's give credit where credit's due. Okay? Kimby has lived a hard life. And I don't mean off the ice. I mean on the ice. Not a little bit off the ice. We know that. Yeah. But he's had a hard life. He's battled from a very young age. And to, you know, do everything he's done is quite astonishing that he's still going. And he's still having fun doing it. And let's not forget the biggest accomplishment for Darren Kimble.
Yeah.
He's the first one to walk upright in his family.
Yes, very good. Look at his boy
evolution.
Over there. Hey, his boy's loving this
well,
over here.
His boy
he's
walks
in studio
really well
over here.
Upright. Yeah. Thank God for
another generation removed.
A lot of evolution going on there. Lucky Lake, Saskatchewan.
Thank God.
Lucky Lake.
I'll tell you what.
The pride of Lucky Lake. Yeah, are you the pride?
I don't know what I am.
Are you the pride of
Come
Lucky
on.
Lake?
Yeah,
you got to be.
I got the sign up, so I got
you do?
Hey!
Do you really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Next time you're at Lucky Lake, I'd like a picture of that.
We need mom or sister.
Yeah,
somebody.
Send us a picture.
Send us a picture of that.
I'd love to have that.
The reason it is because my mom was the mayor, so
she made sure it went up. I like it.
Oh, holy moly. Happy birthday, sir. I had no idea.
Happy birthday, Kimby.
You did a great job concealing it. Or we may have had a little fun with you today. Not a cake or anything. We may have had the strippers may have been here.
Male strippers.
Whoa. Hey,
Henson would have opted for that.
Now, come on.
Well, thanks to Innovated Electric for their support.
Yeah, Innovated Electric wants to be on this one.
Our Twitter, yeah. New construction panel changes, full service upgrades. They'll replace your fixtures and devices. They are a full service electrical department, exterior, interior, anything you may need. That's our friends Randy and Stephanie, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. 35 plus years experience, second generation craftsmanship. Thank you to Innovated Electric. Guys, I'm going to leave you with two last things that I want your thoughts on. One, I was curious about this, so I sent it out. And I was shocked at the response we got. I did this one through Facebook.
Uh-oh.
It was something we had. We always talk about, Gary, you and I have talked about this for a long time. And
that must have been a discussion.
Well, I'll tell you how old this conversation is. This conversation is as old as when Scott Stevens was pried away from the St. Louis Blues.
I just won't let it go.
No.
Did it take Gary that long to get it out? Or what the hell was going on?
Does the NHL are the Blues still privately being punished for breaking the rules?
For what?
Referees.
Are you out of your mind?
I'd tell you what. The other night, fans were losing their minds.
Go drink some more cough syrup.
Hang on. Fans really do feel like the NHL. We seem to get screwed sometimes out of nowhere from the referees. Is there any truth to this whatsoever?
You know what? I'll tell you.
Hold on.
But I could see where they say it because when we played in St. Louis, I thought that. But then I went to Chicago and there was games
where
you get it stuck right up your rear end too.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
You
every
go to Boston,
team I ever played on, you always feel like the refs
hold on. Kimby is on record. On this show, saying
no, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
he's
not.
On
like
record
you'd
saying,
remember.
I saying.
Thank God it's archived.
Even when I was here, I felt like we were getting screwed.
I think to a point
he didn't understand that. He said when he went to Chicago, he felt screwed too.
Kimble's always getting screwed.
And we all
maybe
sit
it's
here.
Kimby.
Hey, Lucky Lake.
The four of us sit here, and the whole show is about the St. Louis Blues. We focus on the St. Louis Blues. We don't know what's going on in Chicago, so that's what I'm saying. So if you see a referee screwing you for a game, it stands out in your mind. And then they screw you maybe. So that's what's going on. It happens other places.
There's only one team.
I think the referees absolutely suck, but I'm just telling you that.
Tell us how you really feel.
I think they're giving too much leeway, these bastards are, and I really mean that. And I just hate to say it that way, but.
No, say it again.
They're too much leeway. Yeah,
bastards. Yeah. Bastards. All right. There's only one team I ever played on that I didn't feel like we were getting screwed, and we weren't. Quite honestly, it was a double standard, and that was when I played for the Detroit Red Wings. Didn't matter what we did. We always won in the penalty race that night. The referees, for whatever reason, fell in love with all the Hall of Famers or whatever, and Scotty Bowman. And like, it just was like you could go in there knowing we're going to get more power plays than the other team, no matter what. And that's the only time in my career I ever felt like, hey, we got an advantage with the officiating here.
Well, I want you to keep going on that. And the follow-up question would be this. You just said it. Was it very simply you feel like the referees themselves got infatuated with it?
Absolutely.
Or do you feel like it was a little bit of a mandate from above?
I don't know if it was a mandate from above, but every referee knew all these Hall of Famers, right? You have years and years and years of relationships with these guys. And even the shit bums like me on the team, they have relationships with those guys throughout, 10, 12 years, whatever it is. And you just knew going in, like we always would talk about in the locker room, guys, be patient. We know we're going to get our power plays. We know we're going to get our and as a guy who played a little bit, on the fringe of the rules, I knew I was going to get away with more. I knew I could hack a guy 4, 5, 6 times, and then the ref would give me a warning. One more and I got to call you, Riv. And so I knew what the parameters were, and other teams would whack you once and the arm would go up, and you'd be like, suck on that.
I go with that, but let's look at the NFL, and I know you got to go quicker, but look at what's going on in the NFL right now.
Oh, so Jesus.
You don't even know what to catch it. Just because he said
NFL earlier doesn't mean we're going there. Jerry Jones
wants to fight against Roger Goodell and take away his thing, and you got 6 other owners that are all kissing his ass, and they want to give him the money. So who do you think that Goodell's going to do? He's going to talk to these people. It will come from above, I believe, at some instances.
I think there might be instances where it's recognized that this team here is a pain in my ass. Correct. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if you found a few extras. Now, will that really come down from the top?
What if a team right now in this era is sitting there and go out and they're playing all this, kick the shit out of men? You know Bettman's going to be having to talk with someone. We got to get that straight right now.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, look, at any point, the referees, I'm sure, can be somewhat manipulated, especially if their job's on the line. Now, do I really believe that somebody would take that much time and effort to go and screw a team over when they only get that referee once every so often? I don't know.
I'd like to know the rules of these referees, though, because they get away with a lot of shit. And when they screw up, are they mandated?
What happens is if they get enough reports against them, they're not allowed to take their money.
Who makes the reports? Is it the guy in the stands? The teams.
Like the GMs will file a report. They'll attach a video to it, and they'll attach the game sheet. And that's how it works. And so that when the NHL gets it, they have the exact time of the game, they have a view of the game, and they have a complaint right there. And what happens is the guy doesn't get fined necessarily, but he does because he'll work less games.
Yeah.
So what happens is he doesn't get scheduled for a week or 10 days. That's what happens. So then the referee knows, okay, I'm on alert here. Yeah. But now it takes like 2 or 3 complaints. Like if I just pissed off because we lost a game and I write in and I'm like, blah, 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 the referee doesn't suffer the consequences. It takes some evaluating from the top people to look at it, see that, yeah, this is a problem, and identify. Usually both referees get brought into that because they're both on the ice. And at that point, then they'll address it. And if it's a bad thing, it's like work. Corporate America, you get written up once.
You know a little bit about
back
that, Kimby.
Back in the day, though, when I played for the Blues the year and a half I was here, when Paul Stewart come to town.
Oh, don't bring up Stewie.
Stewie screwed us every goddamn time, and we got screwed. And there was penalty, penalty, penalty.
Paul Stewart, I'll tell you a quick story about Stewie because, God, he's such an asshole. But, I'm a young guy coming in and playing, and I'm trying to, do my thing.
Assert yourself.
Assert myself in a certain way. And the league was different. Times were different. And, Paul Stewart hated rookies. He freaking hated young guys. And so I'd get called all the time, right? And I would be like, I was quiet the first few times, but then after that, I'd start voicing me and say, hey, what the, you dumb shit, whatever. And he sat there one time and he MF'd me up one side down the other. I hate your guts, Rivers, he says. I hope someone takes your head off. And I said, well, You know, and I'm coming back, I'm firing back at him, and I'm saying, just because you got your ass kicked every single fight in the NHL, I like don't hate us for that. You know, it's your fault you suck at fighting. And so
that probably didn't go well.
No, it didn't go well. There weren't Christmas cards exchanged, but it took about 5 or 6 years of this shit. And then after that, everything changed. It was like a 180. It's almost like I'd been around long enough to where he kind of liked me now. And so, but my point is yeah, Stewie was an asshole.
He was so bad that the fans, when he walked, the fans were like, what the
Showtime,
hell?
Well, Paul Stewart.
Oh, you know, because I think to kind of bring it full circle, I think what fans really believe is like what's going on is like, and it happened. Like sometimes it happened, a couple games ago where some shit went down behind the net and somehow we come out of it down. Like we should have had a power play and somehow we're killing a penalty. And I think Blues fans think like the guy skates by the bench and looks at Yo and goes, you can remind Michael Shanahan that's because you guys signed Brendan Shanahan to an offer sheet.
I'll tell you what, I believe the referee. I don't think that goes on, but I believe the referees play the scorecard of what's going on top. Right. So if they
well,
see,
they
it,
always do.
Yeah, they've always done that. So if it gets starting to get out of hand, they'll go the other way. I'll guarantee you that.
And last thing, because I know fans, this is and Gary's going to love this. Okay, can we get off NBC's ass after last night?
Yeah, Pierre Maguire ripped the Oilers for 60 straight minutes last night and praised the Blues.
That's because
for
Connor
60
McDavid didn't accept
they
his
never
invite for
ever
dinner.
They praised the Blues, supposedly. Last night last they were praising the Blues.
Last night the Blues were the best team on the planet, and Pierre Maguire flat out said, that's not NHL hockey. He said that about the Oilers.
But like, Pierre Maguire, I'll tell you what, he would have been the first one off the Titanic when it starts sinking. Women and children would have got
maybe
just
so, but he ripped the Oilers
stumbled.
The only reason he didn't because the old dumbass Milbury wasn't on there to feed him down the line.
Pierre Maguire, NBC. What are we going to talk about?
Terrible.
Pierre's going to. He's absolutely like a train jumper, right? The guy who jumps on the train that's moving the whole time?
Yeah.
He's that guy. If the train stalls, he's off that train.
I know. He'll never get off Pittsburgh's
train,
because he worked for them.
It was fun to listen to last night because of all the stuff we get on social media about how the national broadcast team disrespects St. Louis all the time. Well, they didn't last night.
I was going to be pissed off because there was that little jackass McGuire's in the box. Where was Chaser? How come he wasn't in that box with them? They didn't want because Chaser's got the camera going down there. You know he's focused down there too.
Yeah.
So,
no,
I didn't see him in there.
When NBC does the games, they take control of that area.
I thought they usually take Panger out, but Chaser stays in all the time. No.
Well, you know what? You're right. I have seen that, but maybe Pierre Maguire got tired of Chaser spitting on the back of his neck the whole night. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know, right?
Who knows? Know
either, he thinks the Blues are the best team on the planet, so. I thought that was great to listen to.
Till the next game.
Till
they're losing the next game and they suck again.
Yep.
Like, that's Pierre Maguire.
Well, hey, great stuff, guys. I want to take a moment. The one thing I did miss at the beginning that I want to make sure everybody does is support the Facebook groups that have helped us grow this show. Art City Sports, Jamie, your good friend, McLight.
McLight, baby.
Yeah, great guy that wanted to jump on. Dennis Minner and his St. Louis Blues hockey memes. St. Louis Blues fans unite. We're happy to be a part of that as well. We have other affiliates jumping on board every day, and we're happy to have you guys a part of this. Please, if you guys want to, you know, if you're out there and you're running the Facebook groups and things like that, and you want to be, you know, like borderline affiliated with us, and you want to do some sharing and back and forth, we're happy to do that as well. Because at the end, all we're trying to do is provide fans with great content, just like you are, for the great conversations that go on social media. Once again, make sure you guys check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Don't forget to do your Christmas shopping through us. Hit that Amazon banner. Do your shopping. Doesn't cost you anything. We get that small referral. Find us on our social media sites at STL Blues and at NHL Show. Find us on Facebook. That's our big ask of you. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page, then click the little button to the right, invite your friends. That would be an awesome gesture from you. Thank you so much. Find us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast Show. And again, thank you to everybody at lineupmedia.fm, including our producers, Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen. For Jamie Rivers, Darren Kimball, Coach Henson from the McHenry University Bearcats, I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.